Okay. Well, this morning, kind of keeping on the theme of relationships, I want to talk a bit about brothers. And I don't mean that strictly in the male sense. I mean that in the, you know, human being sense. You know, the idea of brethren. The idea of that, you know, our we might say siblings, you know, words we use. But in the scriptures, the term brother is the one that occurs most often when it's talking about the principles of siblings. And so that's what the word I'm going to use as we're going through this. But I want to talk about that relationship and really it's understanding its purpose, but also to understand that a true brother is revealed through the trials of life. And you say, well, what's a true brother? I mean, is that, how do we define it? Are we using, well, flesh, you know, and blood? I'm related, same parents, or at least one parent the same? I mean, how are we going to define that? Is, you know, blood thicker than water? You know, you don't get to choose who your relatives are. You're born into that. There's no choice involved. You get the relatives you get. And say, well, is that what God means by brother? Well, sometimes. But there are other passages that clearly talk about brother being much something more. And that's really what's revealed through the trials of life. We find out who's truly somebody who we can rely upon. We might think of it almost as friends. A friend who's closer than a brother. We'll look at that passage this morning a little bit. But I want to start with a brother is born for adversity. We're going to look at this verse here in just a moment. And, you know, many people have looked at this proverb and thought, well, it means that God has given us, you know, siblings so we can fight each other. And everybody who's had siblings pretty much knows you've had fights with your siblings. You know, and when you're young and you're growing up, I mean, the rivalry, the battling, the arguing. I mean, parents sometimes are just, refereeing. In fact, I think saw the line from Cosby on Facebook. I think Audrey put that up recently, you know, that parents sometimes just want quiet. It's not about fairness, not about settling it right. Just be quiet. Stop fighting. Well, in fact, but honestly, people have looked at this verse and thought, oh, that's what it meant. That God says He's given us family and brothers and siblings just so we can be butting heads with one another. And you can see from experience and from the world how you could come to that conclusion. Let's look at the first brothers shown to us in scriptures. One killed the other. Adversity, isn't it? We look down, we look at some other famous brothers, ones we know about Joseph. You know, did he get a little adversity? In fact, the adversity between he and his brothers was used to send him on down to Egypt. You know, he comes out, you know, Joseph comes out bragging, in a sense, might have come out that way. I don't know if he was intending it that way, but that he was going to be ruling, and, you know, that he's like, he's already the favorite, so I want to kill this guy. Siblings have that relationship. Oftentimes, you are closer to one another, and you've seen each other growing up, you've known yourselves at your very worst. You've seen, you know, when they were throwing temper tantrums. You've seen when they were, you know, everything, you know, that there was to be seen at home. You've seen almost all of that. But what's the real purpose of brothers? What's the real purpose of having that? Why did God create us that way? Kind of goes back to, I think, even our midweek, the Truth Project DVDs. He talked a bit about relationships. That being really key, that God, think about this, and he mentioned something in the video, that you know, God, the nature of God is He's not alone. God has never been alone. There is no alone with God. There has never been alone. And so when you see in the creation there in Genesis, Him, when He makes Adam, and He takes him through all the other animals, Adam is alone. And what does God say? It's the first time God tells us something isn't good. Everything else God, in that account, in Genesis 1 there, is talking about how what everything God has done has been good. He hasn't pointing out that His creation is bad. Nothing wrong with Adam. But it's the situation of being alone that's not good. And so God has given us one another. Brothers are really that closest one another that we will have for most of our life. Now, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now you can, there's actually a way to kind of understand people who thought brother is born for adversity. He's telling us that, well, you know, the brother is just going to, you know, argue with and you're going to have battles with. Because Proverbs sometimes are contrasts. Sometimes it's you say one thing one way and then you say it in the opposite the other way. But this way, I think it's generally thought of that this passage is giving us two more synonyms. The friend loves at all times. Meaning, if you take the second part of that, a real friend's purpose is not to be a friend when you have lots of money to spread around to them, when you have lots of good things to give to them, when you can just be, you know, a fountain of fun and joy and blessings and money. A friend is supposed to be there at all times, even when life stinks. And that, similarly, the same thing for a brother. Does it always happen? Is every friend that kind of friend? Is every brother, is every sibling that kind of sibling? No. But that's what it was, the purpose and the design for them. It's just like husbands and wife relationship. God created them with a design and a plan in mind, didn't He? Is every relationship that? Is every husband-wife relationship the one fulfill the plan that God created it for? No. Same thing is true with friends and brothers. But that's the purpose. It's to be there. It's to, you know, when things get hard, when trials come, it's so that you are not alone. Now, in Job, chapter 42 and verse 11, it says, now this is towards the end of the book. He's already gone through everything he has with these, you know, three friends. But I want to focus on, you know, there isn't that long a period of time has transpired between all those conversations with the three friends, by the way, and this verse. So the tragedy that has happened to Job, in a fairly short period of time, it tells us all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. They consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Why? Because he had lost everything. And they were giving him a little, each one of them was giving him a little something to help him start over. Because even though he was an older man who had already had grown children, he was starting all over again. Sometimes life does that to us, doesn't it? Sometimes it seems like, boy, people seem like they just have the world on a string. And boy, everything is going exactly the way, according to plan. You know, you got it, the old phrase, according to Hoyle. Anybody know what that phrase means, according to Hoyle? Probably younger kids probably have no idea what that phrase means. Hoyle is the one who is the book on all the card games, the rules of card games. But sometimes it seems like life is just going along great. You got everything, you, boy, all my plans working out, everything's going good. And then life, something happens, you know, there's death, there's tragedy. I mean, think about, you know, the tragedy of the earthquake in Japan. Did anybody in Japan have any control over that? No. Did it devastate lives and families and ruin everything? Yeah, in the blink of an eye. And we're no different. Same kinds of things could happen. We don't really get much, you know, earthquakes here, but that's not a guarantee that wouldn't be one. And if we did have one, wouldn't be good. We don't build here like we build in California. Frank and I know, we talk about it sometimes. It's a huge difference. We've built where everything is about earthquakes. It seems like overkill at times. But when you've seen houses completely intact, just simply kind of hop up and move over a foot, built the way we build them here, that's why those changes happen. And so it would be devastating. It would be like some of the older earthquakes in California. You know, they just laid waste. If you had a bad earthquake, certainly faults run, you know, through this area. But they're just not that active. But life has that way of doing that to us. Those circumstances happen. They happen all the time. The reason that we have brothers, the reason we have one another, is for those times. Now, 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. One of the great, what I would say, brothers' relationship in Scriptures is David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, it says, "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Now, when we read through these scriptures and you read about David, do you ever wonder what happened to all those older brothers that he had? He only has one older brother getting mentioned after he comes onto the scene. And that older brother isn't faithful enough to go fight Goliath. His little brother, who's not even old enough to be in the army, is the one who comes up and goes out and slays Goliath as a teenager. His older brother, and you know what? Once David comes onto the scene and once he comes into Saul's household and then he's anointed, what happened to the rest of his family? What happened to all of his other brothers? Do we see any of his older seven siblings being his men who he can count on? Were they the guys traveling around with him when everybody was trying to kill him? They're not mentioned. See, a lot of times, flesh and blood brothers, siblings, are just not going to be the people who are going to be there. Now, sometimes they may be. Sometimes siblings grow up and they become more than just siblings. They become best of friends. They are closer to one another than any friends. So their sibling relationship, their blood relationship they were born into, developed a bond of friendship, a bond of brotherhood that God talks about, but doesn't always happen. Sometimes that bond of brotherhood happens with other people. Maybe it happens to a man who, you know, goes off and fights in war with a troop, you know, who all put their lives on the line together. And I remember talking with Jim and his reunion he went back to in Seattle. Hadn't seen some of these guys they'd fought in Vietnam with for decades. And it was like he was with them forever. There's a bond there that can't break. Not going to be broken by time or even distance. A shared experience, a shared life-threatening situation that bound them together. David and Jonathan, the same way. Jonathan was bound to David more so than his own family, more so than his dad, his other siblings. David was the one he truly loved. Now, and Jonathan was the one that helped David. When David realized that his dad, Saul, was trying to kill him, Jonathan's the one that sends the message that, yeah, he's trying to kill you. You got to run. There's a conversation that happens just after this, going up to chapter 20. And David knows, Jonathan doesn't know. Jonathan doesn't think his dad's trying to kill him. And they have a conversation. David's like, I know you don't know, but your dad's trying to kill me. And so they work out a plan. Jonathan's going to find out. He's going to send a message to David to either run away or come back. And he sends him the message, you got to run. Because he learned, yep, my dad's trying to kill you. A brother born not of flesh, but a brother born through trial. Now, for times of trouble, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it talks about the problem of aloneness. And it talks about the tragedy that Solomon saw. He says, there is one alone, without companion. Okay? He has neither son nor brother. So he doesn't have a companion, whether it's a son or a brother, or really even a friend. There is no companion for this one. He is alone. It is a great tragedy. He says, yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. He says, two are better than one. Even think about, notice the point he brought up. You go out and you make a lot of money and you're by yourself. What? So you can just spend it all on you? Where's the emptiness? That doesn't fill the emptiness. The money, wealth, goods, doesn't close up aloneness. And he said, you know, two's better because there's a good reward for the labor. The things that we do, actually having another to share those things with, is a reward. And he says, woe to him who is alone when he falls, when the adversity hits, when the troubles come, being alone, no one to help him up. I started thinking about that verse and all the different kinds of activities that people do that we're advised to not do alone. Right? Not supposed to go swimming alone, right? You're not supposed, I know, and I think with Janae's riding and stuff, you're not supposed to go out riding horses alone. Now, they do, but they advise against that. Anything where, you know, likely to maybe something happen and you kind of, or there's a good chance of that happening, you want somebody there that can help you. There's lots of activities we don't want to do alone. And, you know, it goes back to this idea of having a people who can help us, pick us up. He says, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. So he talked about this, all the reasons why two is better than one. And then the last one, and a threefold cord, even better. You know, we don't make, if you ever think about that, we don't make ropes with two strands woven together. Rope isn't taken, you don't take two strands and just twist. You take multiple strands you know, three and up, and you weave them, roll them, and twist them together. That threefold cord. Don't break that very easy. That's the kind of thing he's telling us, the reason for our brotherhood. Now, who is my brother? That question, Jesus asks that question. And he answers it for us. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. While he was talking to the multitude, here's Jesus talking to multitudes, probably thousands of people. And he's discussing with them. His mothers and brothers are standing outside. They want to speak to him. He says to them, so one of them says to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to speak to you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and brother? And or who are my brothers? He stretched out his hand towards his disciples. So the people he's talking to, he's looking at them, he's like doing this. He said, these here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. This is the bond of brotherhood that's stronger than blood. The one created in God. It is one that will not end and will not be broken by death. You see, we might be broken, the bonds between us might be broken by death. Except in God, we have that bond into eternity. Now, I want to understand something. Jesus promises us brothers. Now, sometimes, a lot of people just don't want them. There's a lot of people in the world that, yeah, leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. I want to do it my way. I don't want too many people to bug me about it. I don't want anybody to bother me about it. Oh, you know, I believe in God, and I want to go to heaven, and I want Him to invite me into eternity, but as long as I don't have to bother with any of His people here. So a lot of people think that way. I mean, they may not say it, and they may not think it that blatantly, but there's a lot of people who simply want to do what they want to do and don't want people to bug them. And Jesus promised us people. In His family, you don't get that option. That's not because it's not good. It is not good to be alone. God knows that. Just because you are in Christ doesn't mean God has said, well, okay, I'll let you kind of be off on your own and by yourself. No. He still wants somebody watching over you. He still wants you to have brothers that take care of you, that look after you, who are concerned about you. Now, sometimes we don't want their help. Sometimes we want to be, you know, let me do what I want to do. But in the church, and one of the reasons the church has been given to us is to create and to fulfill ultimately this promise of Christ, that we would have brothers who would not turn away from us and who will not leave us. That's the goal. Now, does that always happen? Not always. But that's the design, isn't it? That's the purpose of God's family. Brothers born for those tough times. Brothers born for adversity. Born not of flesh and blood, but born of the Spirit. Born of the water and the Spirit of God. And so when Jesus talks about brothers, He says, in, you know, in Proverbs 18, verse 24, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. The second part of that is what I want to focus on. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's ultimately what we want. That's what Jonathan was to David, wasn't he? He was closer than a brother. Jonathan was better to David than his all seven older brothers. Well, often that's true for many people Not just in the church, too. A lot of people are going to become closer to those, you know, maybe friends than they do their family. Now, obviously, Scriptures, when it talks about friendship, by the way, is the antithesis of Facebook friendship. Okay? Define Facebook friendship, Google friendship. Think God's friendship is the opposite of that. You do not have 500 friends from God's perspective. You do not have even 100 friends from God's perspective. Friends, like God's talking about, those are, they're people we know. We're acquaintances. We kind of even worked with them. Some of them are family. But what God's talking about friends are people who are going to be there when we need help. Now, he's talking about friends, somebody who sticks closer than the brother. Mark 10, 29 to 30. Let me back up just a moment. I want to expand on it just a little bit. Got a few moments. I had a friend a while back, went through some really tough times. And you would have thought he had lots of friends. Another preacher. And, you know, difficult time in a congregation where he was at. Some of the people there were, you know, people he had taught, you know, for a long time. And things happened. Most people that were close to him thought, you know, great preacher. Most of them never talked to him. Now, these aren't brothers. These are brothers and sisters. And this isn't bad about this, but this is what happened. It was easier to not call him because you were afraid of somebody thought, well, you chose sides or chose the wrong side or, you know. It's easier not to call him. I mean, a friend is the person who's going to come and is going to show up and is going to call even when there was pressure to not do it. There was reason to not do it. Because it was easier to not do it. That's what friendship and brotherhood, that's the kind of relationship God wants us to have. Now, you're not going to have that. You can't have that with everybody in the world. But we need to have that with some. That's why we want that 2- and 3-fold cord. That's that close. That says, you know what? I'm going to walk through the fire to get you and help you. That's the kinds of relationships that God wants us to have. Now, in Mark 10, when he promises these brothers, he says, Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. His point is, even if we give up, even if because of our faith in God, our flesh and blood cuts us off and says, you know, I don't really want any part of that. I don't really want a part of you because of that. He says, you'll get more than you give up. And he isn't just talking about in eternity. He's not just talking about heaven. He's very clear and he pointed out very precisely here in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. So the blessings come, but boy, you know, sometimes there's some difficulty comes with it too. In this and the age to come, eternal life. The blessings start here. The blessings come from that relationship. Now, that's God's plan and His purpose. What can stop that? What can prevent us from having that kind of friendship and brotherhood within the church, with other people? Well, maybe them, or maybe me. Sometimes both. We need to have an understanding of what God wants and what He planned and what He created it for. But then, in order for that to happen, we have to also do our part of it. We've got to be the ones who make peace. We've got to be the ones who seek after peace, who pursue it, who try to reconcile, who try to create and fix and mend relationships, who do not tear them down, but try to knit them back. That's what did God say and Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount? The Beatitudes, you know, those who are blessed are called peacemakers. To make peace. That's us. God has already done that for us and Him. We need to keep doing that. And that's not a one-time thing. As we know, growing up with siblings, just because you made peace with your brother over this one time they took your stuff, doesn't mean they're not going to take your stuff again. Right? And my sisters, I guess it was, they usually were taking their clothes. My brother was always breaking my, my toys. Taking them, I was like, you find them broken. Siblings, right? Maybe God has given us those relationships early in life so that we can learn how to, as we get older, to mend relationships. Fix them. Become peacemakers. Because what God wants is truly a brotherhood of His children. He wants us to be brothers who are born of the Spirit and the water for those tough times and for the difficult times that come. If you're here today and you have those difficult times, sometimes brothers and sisters don't really know. Sometimes we're good at hiding it. Sometimes they're good at not seeing it. But that's our purpose for one another. All those one another passages. And I'm pretty sure by was it 2020, you'll have gotten through all the one another passages, Dave? There's a ton of them, aren't there? Why? Why are there so many? Because it's all part of the plan, isn't it? That is the plan. That is the purpose. That's why He didn't just save us. He saved us into a family. He adopted us. He didn't just save us. He adopted us into His family. And we need to live like that. We need to truly be brothers born for adversity. If you're here today and you have any, if there's anything you need, don't wait. Ask. Let us know. If you have need of the gospel, the Word of God, if you have a need of prayer, whatever it is. If you're here today and in need of God's care or our service, please let us know. Together we stand and sing.